You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire.
Swiss authorities make a collar in the Panama Papers case. Guccifer 2.0 claims he hacked the Democratic National Committee. Investigation into the Orlando shootings looks at Omar Mateen's online activities. Anonymous hits ISIS both discriminately and indiscriminately. U.S. JTF Ares conducts cyber operations in theater against ISIS. Xdetic is the newest corner of the black market where people are buying cheap access to servers. Telegram may not be vulnerable after all. Patch Tuesday notes and how to buy cheap sunglasses. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Thursday, June 16th, 2016. First, a quick follow-up on the long-running Panama Papers case. Swiss police have made an arrest. They've collared an IT staffer who worked in Mossack Fonseca's Geneva offices. The man they detained, however, apparently isn't the person who released the stolen documents. Bastian Obermeier, the reporter with Le Temps, who worked on breaking the story of the arrest, has tweeted, quote, according to our information, the Mossack Fonseca IT person arrested in Geneva is not Panama Papers source John Doe, end quote. Someone calling himself, herself, or themselves Guccifer 2.0 claims responsibility for the DNC hack and dumps a couple hundred pages of apparent Democratic Party opposition research on presumptive Republican U.S. presidential nominee Donald Trump. Guccifer 2.0 is not to be confused with the original Guccifer, henceforth perhaps to be called Guccifer 1.0, who of course is preparing to begin the sabbatical with the Federal Bureau of Prisons his guilty plea in the other cases earned him. The new Guccifer not only released the DNC's Trump dossier as a sign of his bona fides, but also said that he or she or they has delivered a large quantity of stolen material to Gawker and WikiLeaks. Guccifer version 2 also takes some verbal shots at CrowdStrike, saying the company's talk of Fancy Bear and Cozy Bear is sloppy nonsense, an indicator of poor quality work. CrowdStrike, for its part, stands by its attribution. It's worth noting that incidents like this tend to be complex and can have more than one actor involved, as may, for example, have been the case with the Sony hack. The PDFs of opposition research documents posted by Gawker, for example, contain error messages in Russian, complete with Cyrillic characters, at broken links. This, of course, doesn't mean that Russian intelligence services were involved, but it does suggest some passage through Russian networks. In any case, more documents will probably be forthcoming. Guccifer 2.0 also says that he or she got access to Hillary Clinton's servers. We'll continue to follow the story. Turning to investigation of the massacre in Orlando, U.S. investigators have turned up more online jihadist rhetoric posted by the shooter. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, a Republican from Wisconsin, who chairs the Senate Homeland Security Committee, has sent a letter to Facebook asking for information about Omar Mateen's interactions on the social media platform. The senator's letter quotes one post in particular, quote, "America and Russia stop bombing the Islamic State. I pledge my allegiance to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. May Allah accept me," end quote. The FBI continues to interview Mateen's widow and others close to the shooter. In the larger conflict with ISIS, a Berlin court has sentenced an imam to 2.5 years for online incitement and recruitment. The U.S. talks a bit more about its joint task force, ARIS, which is running cyber support for tactical operations against ISIS in the caliphate's claimed territories. A U.S. Defense Department spokesman told The Voice of America, in essence, that JTF ARIS is pursuing a quite conventional electronic warfare targeting approach to ISIS in cyberspace. Sometimes you watch, sometimes you listen, and sometimes you disrupt. How social providers should interact with problematic or controversial users remains a vexed question. Various anonymous operators are trolling ISIS-sympathizing Twitter accounts with salacious images and alternative text. Anonymous is also said to have hit the Internet Archive, home of the Wayback Machine, with a denial-of-service attack in apparent protest against the persistence of ISIS-themed material held therein. And the father of one of the victims murdered in ISIS's November Paris massacre has brought a suit in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California against Facebook, Google, and Twitter, alleging that they were culpably responsible for permitting the Islamic State to recruit members and inspire attacks. We learned yesterday that a new hot item on the cyber black market was server access, which can be had for as little as $6, or what will get you a movie ticket on Tuesdays at the Bowtie Cinema just outside of Annapolis Junction, or so we're told. Kaspersky Lab has issued a report on the forum where that access is being traded. It's called Xdedic, and it's run by Russian-speaking operators. We also heard reports earlier this week that Iranian researchers had found a serious vulnerability in the messaging service Telegram. Telegram has since called the alleged bug bogus. Connoisseurs of Iranian hacking will be interested to learn that two of the researchers are among the 7 Iranians under U.S. indictment for attacks on the Bowman Street Dam and various financial sector targets. We've heard quite a bit recently about point-of-sale breaches, with Wendy's being among the more prominent corporate victims. But of course, the best-known method of pay card fraud is online shopping. So we put on a pair of cheap sunglasses and spoke with Wandera's Michael Covington about insecure online merchants they discovered some of their clients were using.
What caught our attention is that we saw data leakage. We saw data leakage of sensitive information, email address, username, password, credit card number, along with expiration date, mailing address, etc. So when we started seeing that type of data leaking, i.e. it wasn't being encrypted by the app or the web service that was being accessed, we decided to do a little investigation. We wanted to know a little bit more about the app that was being used, the websites that were being accessed, and that's when we found out that it was actually counterfeit goods that were being sold on the website.
The online merchants highlighted in the report were selling knockoff sunglasses, those ads we've all seen for highly discounted Ray-Bans or Oakleys. But Covington says their research turned up a number of reasons for these leaky websites.
You know, it's interesting. We've seen a number of different activities taking place on these sites that we've investigated. First and foremost, there are scam sites. So there are sites that are made to look as though they're selling a legitimate product or service. And at the end of the day, what they're really trying to do is steal your money, steal your identity, and they're not going to ship you the good on the other side. So those are really the more fraudulent websites. I think, though, and you see this in the report that we put out, that there are also sites out there that are, I'm going to call them legitimate businesses, where they are there to make a profit, to sell items and to actually ship them to people when they're purchased, but they're fake products. They're knockoffs. They're things that are being sold to unsuspecting shoppers or people who are trying to save a buck. I also think that there's another category of site out there, and it's a low-budget site, a site that just hasn't spent a lot of money on infrastructure. They're trying to do as much volume in sales and minimal investment being made on the infrastructure side. Those guys just aren't investing in security, so they're not spending the time protecting the data that they're collecting.
Juan Dare's report is a good reminder to be vigilant with your sensitive data when shopping online.
Make sure that if you're parting with sensitive information, that it is being encrypted as it's being transmitted from your device to the service, and that the service that you're doing business with is actually who you think it is. And you can do some basic things there, like looking at the URL, reading the about page, just making sure that the general cues on the website match up with what makes sense given the transaction that you're trying to accomplish there.
At an enterprise level, Covington suggests that if you see these kinds of risky transactions happening on your network, take it seriously and use it as an opportunity to educate your employees.
There's some behavior that we can see from end users that may be reflective of bad decision-making, risky behavior like visiting a scam website where you're providing sensitive information and it's not being encrypted. I think that's indicative of your online habits in general. And so if you're an admin at a large company and you're seeing this type of activity from a particular user, that type of user probably just needs some training. You want to get them into a room, spend some time with them, showing them the best practices on how to actually engage in an online world, make sure that they're protecting themselves as well as the corporate secrets that that they're being trusted with.
That's Michael Covington from Wandera. You can read the report on their website. Observers think the bad tunnel patch is the most important Windows fix on Patch Tuesday. Admins who've applied Microsoft's June fixes are complaining that one of them, MS-16-072, exposes group policy settings. Researchers find flaws in Cisco small business Wi-Fi routers, but Cisco says it will patch these issues next quarter. Legal observers think the apparent failure of the Compliance with Court Orders Act of 2016 to gain traction in the U.S. Congress is good news for encryption. We spoke with Dr. Vikram Sharma from Quintessence Labs about a technical topic of some importance to the future of encryption, quantum key distribution. We'll hear from him after the break. Finally, a Maryland gentleman, currently a guest of the governor a few blocks away from our studios, has been charged with fraud. He passed the credit card information belonging to a corrections officer's wife to a colleague who then applied that information to various purchases. The gentleman in question, Mr. Dante Small, was accommodated by the governor last October. He had fled from a traffic stop, crashed a barrier at Fort Meade, and was found the next day hiding in a storm drain on the post. Kudos to Mr. Small for having selected a secure hideout, we suppose.
Today's episode is sponsored by SRM, your first call for cybersecurity and investigations. Threats today are evolving faster than ever before, and since 2005, SRM has pioneered tailored security solutions for global corporations and their executives. Whether it's defending against cyber attacks with their award-winning team of ethical hackers and incident response specialists, or navigating the murky waters of compliance and ESG challenges, SRM's insight and straightforward advice will help you navigate complex risks and emerge more resilient. Their secret? A culture that nurtures the sharpest minds, giving them access to the newest technologies and the freedom to solve problems in new ways, enabling them to craft simple, effective solutions for your unique cyber challenges. Search Your First Call to discover how SRM can help your business. And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI.
And joining me once again is Dr. Vikram Sharma. He's from Quintessence Labs, one of our academic and research partners. Dr. Sharma, you know, we've spoken previously about quantum technology. It's an area where you all are doing a lot of research there at Quintessence. And we touched on quantum key distribution. I was wondering if you could dig a little deeper into what exactly is quantum key distribution.
Well, quantum key distribution is a mechanism of transporting encryption keys securely between two locations. And in this particular instance, it applies to using light to transport these keys very securely, optical comms. In its earliest incarnation, what had been done was single photons of light were polarized or spun in a particular way. So vertical could be a one and a horizontal zero sent between two locations. And if anybody tried to intercept those photons in flight, they would disturb the spin and therefore reveal the eavesdropping. What Quintessence Labs has been doing is taking the same principles but applying it to a highly tuned laser. And hundreds of millions, billions of times per second, we modulate very small signals at the quantum level, like doing AM and FM, onto the laser. And similar to the single photon model, if there's any act of eavesdropping on this optical signal while it's being transported over, say, optic fiber, that eavesdropping will be revealed.
So it's sort of that old scientific principle about how the observation of something can change the state of it, correct?
That's exactly right, Dave. It's a corollary of Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. If you look at something at the quantum level, your act of observation disturbs it in a measurable way.
All right, fascinating stuff. Dr. Vikram Sharma, thanks for joining us.
Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR. And only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit criticalstart.com and request a demo today. That's criticalstart.com.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.
And now a word from our sponsor, SpyCloud, the leader in operationalizing cybercrime analytics. Traditional threat intelligence is a thing of the past. Cyber criminals are stealing vast amounts of credentials, session cookies, and financial data every day, and it's hard to keep up. SpyCloud is the trusted partner businesses turn to fully understand their darknet exposure risk and neutralize threats before it's too late. SpyCloud alerts your organization as soon as an employee or customer's data appears on the darknet, so you can act faster than bad actors to prevent cyber attacks like ransomware, session hijacking, account takeover, and online fraud. With insights from the industry's largest repository of recaptured data, protect the digital identities and systems most important to your business. Get your free corporate darknet exposure report at spycloud.com/cyberwire and see what information criminals have in their hands today. That's spycloud.com/cyberwire.